It turns out that there are quite a number of things I need to relate to you before we begin our Bible class. The number of things going on, and I need to get this said verbally so we can understand what's going on in the next week or so. First of all, Bible class this coming Wednesday, which is March the 9th, is canceled. Instead, the cancellation of Bible class scheduled for Wednesday, March 16th, will take place. Your bulletins tell you that we're going to have the 16th off. That's a Wednesday. I'm moving the cancellation back down to March 16th. What's happening on Wednesday the 9th is because of a number of things that are going to go on for me personally the second week. And so I need to have that as a week where I'll have an open date all the way through. Also, next Sunday then, on March the 13th, we will observe the Eucharist. That leads off the first session. Also, following the second session, we will enjoy the church luncheon in the cafeteria, which is a regularly scheduled event. I want to show you a visual. This is a photograph of Imprimis. This handout here, I've ordered this from Hillsdale College. There are 100 copies. Some are on the back table of the auditorium. Some are on the main table out in the lobby coming in, and also at the bookcase in the cafeteria. I mentioned this to you the other day. It's what is the Great Reset. This is Michael Rechtenwald, who gave this speech at Hillsdale College in December of last year. The reason I pointed out to you is this has a very good analysis of what is meant by the term the Great Reset. So you'll have some better idea of what that means after you've read this this speech and the printout of it. Rechtenwald, of course, is a chief academic officer of American Scholars, and therefore I highly recommend this to you. After you've read it, I think you will understand clearly what went on in Canada several weeks ago. You are seeing the application in the government of Canada, what is really going to happen all over the world at some point if the Lord doesn't intervene. So it's very educational to read this and then reflect back on what you saw on television regarding the episodes in Canada and Justin Trudeau. So I wanted you to see that. So the Imprimis is one of the things that are noted on my list here. I wanted also to show you this. I'm not going to show you anything. What I will do is tell you what I wanted to show you at this particular point. It turns out that we have a young man in our congregation who plays hockey. Now, I'm from the South, and I never quite understood that game, but they do understand it here. And we have news of the Afton American hockey team won the 12U Missouri State Blue Note Cup Championship yesterday at Centene Ice Center. They have a hockey rink there. Leading the way was goalie Teddy Watson, whose goaltending preserved a 3-1 victory. By the way, his season's stats as goaltender are 24 wins, 8 losses, and 1 tie. And I understand that's very important in hockey for the goaltender to do these things. And so he gets the stats, and his stats are really outstanding. 3 wins as opposed to 1 loss is the way that works out. So congratulations to Teddy and the Afton Americans 2022 championship team. Now, last Sunday, I mentioned a couple of articles I would like to make available to the local congregation. And that would be the Imprimis article that I've just mentioned to you. What is the Great Reset is the title of what I've just shown you a moment ago. Also mentioned is the article Critical Race Theory. We can back up on this and see down at the bottom left-hand corner a link to that article if you want to go and find this. All you have to do is put into your computer Critical Race Theory, and it'll pop up, and you can print that out if you would like. Critical Race Theory, the Great Reset, and all of this business is a strategy that to a great degree has been implemented in Canada. Their government is different from ours. And so we're doing the best we can as we move through the current chaos to hold things together because of our Constitution. The Constitution, therefore, is in danger because those in power would like to circumvent it with their own ideas, and for some reason they're getting away with it thus far. But nevertheless, that's the concept, and critical race theory is one of those things that emerged in the Frankfurt School. You'll see some of that in some of these excerpts along the way. So I wanted you to be aware of those few things. In our study, we are in document number 26, and we're resuming our study on page 258. Now, what I want to do here is to point out some things with regard to James chapter 4, verses 11, and later on we'll see other verses as well. But I want to emphasize James 4, 11 and its expanded translation. The reason for this is there's a load of information in this verse. It has to do with quite a number of things that James is trying to point out throughout the book. And we want to go back. A little bit of this was done last Wednesday, and I want to amplify that by going back and reviewing some things. We have a sequence of events that are come up in this particular verse. And there are three things that need to be noted, and I've got it noted here visually on the board. First of all, we have a present active imperative plus the negative may, stop slandering your fellow believers. So that's the first phrase up there. So stop slandering, present active imperative of kata laleo. Stop slandering fellow members of the royal family of God. That's a dangerous practice to facilitate, and many are doing that today. So stop slandering is an imperative mood. You're to stop doing that if you're doing it presently. The one habitually slandering is the present active participle of kata laleo, a fellow believer, or habitually, you have a fellow believer or habitually judges. So judgment comes in here. That's krino. So we have this concept of habitually doing this. Slandering, that's an imperative mood, stop it. Habitually doing this is a problem as well. And so a fellow believer is obviously the object. Or habitually judges his brother. Currently slanders, that's present active indicative of kata laleo. You are currently doing this as well. You're slandering the law, nomos. Well, the law here in context is the royal law that goes back to James chapter 2, verse 8. We've studied that in detail, and it keeps popping up as well. If there's a central verse in the book of James, it would be James 2, 8. It's loaded with information, directives, and concepts that give you pause if you're involved in any of the activities that are brought out by James in his book. So the royal law is the concept here. And then it judges krino, the law, nomos, the royal law. But if you judge krino, the law, meaning the royal law, you are not a doer of the law, meaning the royal law, but a judge, as krites, you're a judge of it. So I wanted to amplify this verse. There's a lot of information here, but a great deal of information in the sense that you're being given a checklist of what not to do. Now, what is the royal law? We've studied that in detail, so we won't have to belabor it very much right now. But you know what it means. You need to leave other people alone unless you have authority over them. And this is a time in our nation's history where it's easy for the believer to become frustrated, and from that frustration, verbalize things to others that are violating certain standards about which you're familiar. And you want to gossip, malign, and judge, and so on. Now, it's very difficult when a nation is under assault from its own citizens. That's probably the worst thing that can occur. You understand when those from other countries want to invade, that happens from time to time throughout history. But when it's your own people who have turned against you, then it's very gut-galling to have to therefore take that from your own fellow citizens. Yet at the same time, Jesus Christ controls history. There's not much you can do right now to turn anything around physically. What you can do is what you can do mentally by recall of doctrine, staying inside the bubble, and therefore allowing Jesus Christ to control history. And his control of history allows the fall of client nations. We have that on record, client nations and priest nations. So the breakdown in the grammatical analysis of this particular verse is very important. James had a lot to say here, but he's saying it to his congregation in Jerusalem. These people are absolutely unwound when it comes to their ability to take in doctrine but not apply it. That is what is going on in churches today in the 21st century. And so we do not need to be a part of that. There has to be a group of people who are willing to use the Word of God and therefore allow it to be the power that enables you to stay inside the bubble and let Jesus Christ take care of these details. If there's anything you can do legitimately, and that would be law enforcement or something like that, for example, there's nothing you can do about this except apply the Word of God in your personal lives and stay inside the bubble. There's nothing else you can do. The people who are in charge today are in charge today, and they will be in charge for almost another 3 years, maybe. So I think it's very important to take a look at verses like this. Verse like this gets you inside the bubble. Verse like this tells you to keep your mouth shut. If there's anything you can say that would be beneficial, maybe encouraging, uplifting, fine. But there's nothing you can do about this. Raise your hand if you think you have the power to stop anything that's going on now. The way you can participate is to get inside the bubble and live your life applying the Word of God, growing in grace, adding to your inventory. Jesus Christ is the one who is in control of all aspects of human life, and he knows about this and did so in eternity past. So there's that. So I wanted you to see that. Now, back up one visual here. We can note this. This is how it reads in the King James Version. Speak not evil, kata laleo. Speak not evil. One of another, brethren. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if you judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. That's King James Version. Then the New American Standard, which is usually what we reference to start a study of a verse. Do not speak against one another, brethren. He who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but judge of it. That's a little better. But the idea here is when you read your Bible in the translations that are available, the guys that did this analysis, and that's the New American Standard, they had to get it into English. And that's okay because we don't speak Greek and we don't speak Hebrew. And so you're able to go out into the devil's world with the information you're able to, let's say, accrue through Bible study. But going to the English doesn't really amplify what this verse is actually saying. That's why you do this. That's why you peck away systematically through a verse and you go to the original languages and you take a look at the verbs. So let's do this again. Stop slandering. Okay, that's what we start this with. It's the present active imperative. Okay, you can see the imperative there with the word stop. It's an imperative. Therefore, you don't do this anymore. So stop slandering fellow members of the of the royal family. The one habitually slandering. See, habitually there's the present active participle of katalaleo. So you habitually do this. So you slander, you do it habitually, a fellow believer, or habitually judges, and that's krino there, his brother. Currently slanders, present active indicative of katalaleo, which means that's what you're doing right now, and you're doing that to the law. In context, what does James mean when he says the law? He goes back to James 2:8 as an example. There are others in his text. But he goes back to James 2:8 and he's talking about the royal law, which we've studied. Now, if you have the royal law in Scripture, you can extract it from Scripture and get it into your soul as a behavior pattern. And the behavior pattern obviously has to do with getting your mind right about your relationship with other people. So we can rail at the television. Now, the television, you can rail at a television because it's not a person. But there may be people on air that you're looking at and listening to them, and you can look over to whoever's to your left or right and say, I don't agree with what that person's saying. But if you scream at the television and use foul language, you need to get away from that. I think you ought to find what's going on today very instructive. So keep a clear mind, understand what's going on around you, and that you have nothing to do about that. You did not begin this chaos, but you can learn from it. And you learn from it by going to Scripture and seeing verses such as this one. And also, you can reflect back upon your studies of client nations and priest nations in the past have gone through this very same thing. And none of them have survived as client or priest nations. Ours presently is teetering. It's up to you to be the unseen power that can pull this fat out of the fire. So I wanted you to see this verse here as we go on with a few concepts related to it. So point 34, the repetitions of three words in James's verse is building a case. He uses the verbal sin, katalaleo. It's actually translated slander or speak slander three times. The word law is the noun nomos, used four times. The words krino or kritēs, judges or judge, are used four times. So let's note the use of each individually. Katalaleo, to slander, first of all. Present active imperative plus the negative may stop slandering. Present active imperative, they have been doing this habitually from reversionism. And three, present active indicative, this is a real situation that is presently going on. Now, what I've just read you there describes perfectly what is presently going on in this client nation. You do not need to be a part of that. You need to get the royal law going and your problem-solving devices. Jesus Christ controls history. You do not, except from the fact that Bible doctrine is the power that you can use, you can extract, and you can apply in your personal lives. That is your power. If you want to have something positive to contribute to the present zeitgeist, that's it. Applying the Word of God to your personal life inside the bubble, inside the divine dynasphere. Get filled with the Spirit, use the power that you know from Scripture, and apply it. And then stand back and let Jesus Christ use that in the battle that's before us. So in the sequence of the verse, the next word is kretes. It's the word judges. One, it is directed toward a fellow believer referred to as a brother. You'll see that on there somewhere. Two, then he speaks against nomos, the law. Next, he judges nomos, the law. James then introduces a contingency in point four, but if you kretes, judge the nomos, the law, then you are not a doer of the law, but a judge of it. Now, we go through all of this. This can be very complicated reading it just in an English translation, but we've expanded this so you can see it's multifaceted in its application. And you can't apply what you don't know. So we've broken this verse down to where you can see how it functions, and it's multifaceted in its application. Now, this verse could be properly described as an indictment of these people before the divine court of appeals. You do not need to be a witness for the defense. So, this verse clearly charges these people as being in opposition to the law. However, it is not immediately clear in the context which law is being violated. Is it civil law, criminal law, or Mosaic law? Well, civil law may be involved, criminal law may be involved, but Mosaic law is not. What is involved? What is involved is the royal law. And the royal law has been defined from this pulpit systematically for a couple of years now. And the royal law has to do with staying inside the bubble, basically. Confess your sins, get inside the system, live there, make decisions there, and therefore analyze incoming flack from there. Analysis is necessary, but how you apply what you know from that analysis is extremely important. And you, what does it say here throughout? The law, the law, the law. And how do we nail down that it is the royal law? Because when James uses the word law, he's referencing what he calls the royal law in James 2:8. So we've done a little bit of that, and we'll continue to work on it. So again, this verse clearly charges these people as being in opposition to the law. However, it is not immediately clear in the context which law. Is it civil? Is it criminal? Is it Mosaic? So this requires us to conduct some research as to what's what about this law. That takes us to the doctrine of the law in James 4:11. To determine the meaning of nomos, we must recognize its exegetical setting, which is a noun without a definite article. So you have a noun, no definite article. What does that mean? The noun without the definite article in the Greek calls attention to the quality of the noun. Okay, so we got nomos, that's a law, it has a lot of quality. Therefore, whatever this noun is, by definition, is something of a high quality. The meaning of the word is determined by its usage in the context. And therefore, the first usage of nomos in context takes us back to James 1:25 and James 2:12. For example, James 2:12 ends with the phrase, the law of freedom. The law of freedom. The context of this chapter refers to the capacity for freedom, capacity for life, and capacity for love. This is functioning in an environment in which a person functions and can therefore make decisions based on his doctrinal inventory. If you know any doctrine, then that's where you need to live. And you're withdrawing from your inventory those concepts, ideas, and doctrines that enable you to evaluate incoming flack and do so from a position of power. If you don't have any power, you can't function. So what is James is trying to do is get people to get filled with the Holy Spirit, grow in grace, learn doctrine, and then apply it. And it can't be applied when you're upset with incoming flack. So you need to be a cool customer through all of this. Oh, you can fuss at the TV and have conversations with your friends about how you can't really believe this situation has continued as such without pause for the last 2 years and not a shot fired by an enemy. Slander is maligning and judging the principle of a sophisticated spiritual life. So do you want to slander people? You can say this, I disagree with what that person said. I disagree with what that person did. I disagree with that person for saying thus and so, doing this, that, and the other. You can disagree, but you need to get your mind right about being a combatant in an invisible war. And your invisible war function is the power of the Word of God under the filling of the Holy Spirit. Stay, therefore, away from doing anything that would cause you to become involved in criticisms or anything of that nature of individuals. Jesus Christ knew about this in eternity past. He will take care of this in several ways are available to him. You need to be the person with the power in your soul to stand fast in the midst of chaos. And that's what we're expected to do in the present hour. So slander is maligning and judging the principle of the sophisticated spiritual life. The principle associated with spiritual maturity is the freedom to love God, to serve Him, and to have the freedom to enjoy your life. I don't know what it's like to actually be in a war, a literal war. The people probably in this congregation right now and those listening that have been in combat, and the other side's firing weapons of various sundered kinds at you. So that's called war, the literal war. And you have to orient and adjust to that. The ability to orient and adjust to the current situation shows a great deal of establishment viewpoint and doctrinal viewpoint. When you get out on the highways, there are people out there that are not trying to kill you, but they're able to do so. So are you frightened when you get on 270, I-70 East? Are you frightened when you do that? Most people survive the day. Every now and then there's a big wreck, people die and everything. But you are not frightened that a couple of tons of metal are speeding by you or creeping along, creating even more of a problem. And you just simply whiz through. And it's a couple of tons of metal everywhere you go, within feet of you. Yet in battle, they're firing, let's say, bullets, which you can hold in the palm of your hand. You'd be afraid of that. You're afraid of bullets, but not two-ton cars and trucks and semis. You have to orient and adjust to the situation. Let's talk this. James 1:25, James 2:8, James 2:12 have three uses of nomos in context. In these three verses, it refers to Bible doctrine. Sin comes in several categories. Mental attitude sins result in sins of the tongue. They malign and judge others, but every believer has a right, as a believer priest, to live his life as unto the Lord without interference from others. So this gets into judgment, judging others. What is a person doing that would cause you to decide that that person needs to be judged by you? Do you know what's going on in that person's day up to that point? You don't. Also, he's very frustrated, out of fellowship want some vengeance and that kind of thing. And who doesn't, especially of late, entertain some of those ideas? And so we just have to get back in the bubble and keep moving. What is it you can do to stop this? You can do something to stop this by being inside the divine dynasphere and using the doctrine you have to be, let's say, a light shining in the world of darkness. Every believer has the right to his privacy, a right to live his life as unto the Lord. Therefore, slandering and maligning others is a sin. Even if they are doing these things, it's not your business unless you have personal authority over that individual and therefore can step in and seek to correct the problem. And there are very few people in this world to which that applies. Every believer has a right to his privacy, a right to live his life as unto the Lord. Therefore, slandering and maligning others is a sin. They have free will, and they use it. And it doesn't mean they use it in a way that you approve every time. Do you have authority to stop it? Would confronting them and dressing them down do anything to aggrandize the situation? If you are such a person, then you are an illustration of the person we're noting in James 4:11. The source of true happiness is the sophisticated spiritual life. Are you a sophisticate? However, what is absolutely not allowed is for you to take the task of slandering another believer. See, let's see if we can get sophisticated here. Wow. The sophisticated spiritual life has three stages here. Stage one, and what we're noting here, a bunch of abbreviations. You should be familiar with this visual. But we have problem-solving devices numbers 7 and 8. Okay. Impersonal love for God personal love for God and impersonal love for your fellow man. You love God personally and your fellow man impersonally. And you do that how? By having a relaxed mental attitude. And this is the entryway to what we might call official use of the royal law. You got to grow in grace a little while in order to get this nailed down. So personal love for God and unconditional love for all mankind. Providential preventive suffering equals spiritual autonomy. You become autonomous. That's problem-solving devices 7 and 8 are almost at the end of the list, you see. Problem-solving device number 9 is momentum testing in 4 categories. What are the 4 categories? Well, let's start with people. You start with people. These individuals could be relatives, friends, those you work with, those you don't know. Run into them all the time, all categories. People, thought, system, disaster equals spiritual maturity if you can get through that. So would you maybe consider what we're going through right now, momentum test in 4 categories? So who does this involve? It involves people. And people, let's just call the word people plural. I think it's like 7.5 billion of them. That's who you're up against. Thought. So if the people are involved, and there's 7 billion of them, are they upsetting you in any way? Well, next, then, you can see that's people and then followed by your thought. Then there are systems. The system in which we function in a client nation called America, look at it right here. There's a system here, and it's identified by, aggrandized by the Constitution. Now, if you start ignoring the Constitution, you got a problem. So we're in the middle of that. Then there's disaster that can occur. We had disaster, when was it? Way back in the 2020s, we had a year of disaster. And crimes are being committed, arson, robbery, murder, things of that nature, and nothing was done about it. In an environment of a client nation. These kinds of things were going on and nothing was done about it. In fact, people bragged about having done it. So then we have disaster, and that equals spiritual maturity. You're able to orient and adjust all of that. Orient and adjust to some bad situation is very important. Then we go to stage 3. Problem-solving device number 10 is occupation with Christ. Now, if you're occupied with something, you're focusing on that. It becomes essential in your daily walk. You're occupied with who and what he is. But we know who he is. We know what he is. He's the Messiah. But what is it about him we continue to want to know more? And that would be his word. And we're mandated by all three members of the Trinity to focus on Jesus Christ as our Savior, and that he is the one that provides us with all we need to endure this hostile environment. And so we're occupied with him. So we have evidence testing in two categories, relationship with God and a relationship with life. So this is sophisticated thought processes that can only be accomplished when you move through a system which is Bible study, retain the information, facilitate it, get it to paths of least resistance, and therefore have that inventory to rely upon when exigencies emerge that need to be addressed. And when you do all of that, then you're sophisticated. Therefore, the way that one believer can get himself in major trouble with the Lord is to slander another believer. Why would a sophisticated level 10 believer get involved in anything other than making application from the Word of God? There's no logic for that. So 12. When a believer attains the sophisticated spiritual life, his sins of the tongue are controlled. I assume you're trying to control your sins right now. He too can have a bad day, though. But a mature believer can rectify his mistake through rebound and then keep moving. Now, this visual here can be used right now, today, tomorrow, and tomorrow several times. Top and bottom circles. Well, what's the top circle? In union with Christ, eternal relationship, eternal security. That's the light. A lot of things are associated with that over on the right-hand side. And then there are challenges. You're down in the bottom and you're living in the light, temporal fellowship, or spirituality, if you would like to be called that. It's spiritual. John 1, 5 through 7 is the light. Philippians 2, verses 1 through 2, temporal fellowship or spirituality. You're inside this little bubble here. And I like to put the little dashes there because it shows vulnerability. So if there's a vulnerable situation, it's your volition. You have that. So you have something that would enable you to be out of fellowship. And so personal sin can do that. Let's see. It's all black here. Galatians 5, 19 through 21, you probably do this a few times every day. Then that puts you in the darkness, which is right here. So you're in the darkness where formerly you were in the light, out of fellowship or carnality. And the carnality can aggrandize into other things if it's not addressed properly. And so this describes this problem in 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through 4. But then you finally slap your forehead and say, I need to get out of this mess. So you confess you're alone to God alone. What does it do? It puts you back inside the light. So you're in and out. So if you spend most of the day out and get in a few minutes, an hour maybe, at some point, you at least are making some kind of progress, but not very well. So systematically over time, you've got to reduce this and aggrandize this. Therefore, you have the rebound technique. So when a believer attains the sophisticated spiritual life, his sins are of the tongue, which is where it all starts, and as far as James is concerned, are controlled. He too can have a bad day, but a mature believer can rectify his mistake through rebound and therefore at that point keep moving inside that bubble. Now, it is the fact of consistent study, retention, facilitation, and application of doctrine to life and circumstances that enables the advancing believer to consistently apply the doctrine in his inventory of ideas that would glorify Jesus Christ throughout your daily life. Now, this glorification process has to do with the fact that you are taking in the Word of God, you're retaining it, and you are applying it. And that means you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, these are basics for the Christian way of life. You can only apply what you know. But each day, you're trying to take the inculcation of the Word of God to add to your inventory and thus aggrandize the power you have invisibly into the hostile environment of the devil's world. And so the idea of growing in grace is the issue. Now, I want to make a comment here about how that is accomplished systematically and biblically. We have a thing called evangelism. Gary deals a lot in that. He goes into these prisons and guys show up. He's given me a few little tales that he tells about the guys that show up. And he's able to identify some of the ringers that come in. He has ways of doing so. And I will not ask him, nor would I want to divulge some of those secrets he knows that tells him this person's a ringer. But nevertheless, he can do that. Well, what happens when they come in and maybe they get saved? What next is the question. Yeah, they're saved. They've placed their faith in Christ. If they died that night, they go to heaven. We wouldn't know anything. They know they're saved. That's it. So how is it people can actually acquire the information from the scriptures, which we're commanded to do? How is it that they can eventually get to a level where they can make powerful decisions based on biblical information, principles, and doctrines? Well, it all started in the early chapters of Acts where the church was founded. So you get saved, then what? Well, then what is you have to go find someone with the spiritual gift of pastor teacher and sit down in front of that man. Sit down in front of him and concentrate on what he's got to say. And I will tell you that you will not understand very much of what he says. You don't have an inventory for that. The evangelist can get him to the place he needs to be, which is filled with the Holy Spirit if he confesses his sins, but nevertheless, he doesn't have any biblical doctrine to rely upon to make decisions from that resource. What does he need to do next? He needs to go to the next Bible class. And then after that one's over with, he needs to go to the next Bible class. And he needs to just sit there and listen, make notes, whatever. But this guy, in order to get to a level of sophisticated thought, he has to buy into the fact that I have found a source of absolute truth that never varies. And I'm going to stay here until I get all my spiritual ducks in a row. And the person who gets saved and does not do that is going nowhere in the Christian way of life. And we are plagued presently with churches that do nothing much with regard to that that issue. They want to sing songs. I love singing songs. And there's plenty of room for that. But when that dominates the congregation's time in the building, 40 minutes of singing and 15 minutes of some little blurb by somebody who doesn't know much about what he's saying either, yet the pastor. You need to get into the Word, and the Word is Hebrew and Greek. We went through, by the way, we went through that just a while ago. I wanted to show you the power of the verbs in this verse in James. It expands the idea. What is it that's going on with regard to the royal law? You can't be involved in all of the stuff at the first part of the verse and then not have any application of it later on. So the churches are failing the country. That's why we're having what we're having. The churches have failed. So you want to criticize people because of the way they're behaving. Criticize the churches for failing to teach the Word of God systematically year by year over the course of decades, which we used to do. So it's a lousy situation we're in, but if we want to get down to the bottom line, where did this all start? It started in the failure of pastors in churches. And then, if there happened to be a few pastors that were teaching the Word of God exegetically, did people, for whatever reason, decide that was too hard? He's involved in all these languages. Yes, he is, but then he gets it into the English. That's the whole drill, is start in the Hebrew, start in the Greek, and then pull that into your language and expand it so it can be applied in your personal life, and you've got the power of the Word of God behind it. If you don't do that, and the people get bored, and rightly so, I might add, maybe that's the problem, is in the pulpit. So people want to have a bunch of people come in the building and sing all these songs, and everybody thinks it's a great day at the church because we sang 15 songs, and the guy didn't bore us for more than 15 minutes. And when you leave the building, you still don't know anything biblically, but you felt good for being there. I'm feeling much better now. Where did I leave off, Henry? 14, that's a good point. Every believer has the right to privacy. Every believer. He has that right in order to live his life as unto the Lord. And this principle is violated when one believer challenges another believer's spiritual life. It may need challenging, but it's not up to you. So there is a logical reason for this. It may be stated that within any given congregation, each and every member is at a different level of spiritual growth. And that's a fact. If we could get the Holy Spirit to literally come into this room right now, okay? I'm making this up. And we decided we wanted to know the level of spiritual advance that each one of you has aggrandized. And he would go to each and every one and say, this guy sitting right here in this seat right here, he's been coming here and coming here and coming here, but he nods off. He really doesn't get much here, but he feels good about being here. And then we could go through all the room. There would be a different level of spiritual advance for everybody in this room. That is why there's no place to criticize another believer. Here's why, and I'll shut up and we'll go get tea and crumpets. If the Holy Spirit came in here and gave a grade on everyone in here, we would learn this for sure. There would be someone in here that has not advanced in the study of the Word of God, though positive, but hasn't been positive to the study of the Word very long. Therefore, their inventory cannot be advanced. It's the, introductory concepts that you would learn in the early stages of your spiritual growth. And then there's another person that probably knows more about Scripture than any of the other people in the room. And everybody else would be in between. That is why you leave other believers alone and let them grow in grace at their level of understanding in their day in the church, listening to the preacher stand in the pulpit and teaching doctrine. Everybody's at a different level, And you can't be upset with a person because they don't know something. They haven't been at it long enough like you have. And that's why you come into the congregation, you sit down, you shut up, you fake it till you make it. And everybody's at the level of spiritual growth at which they have advanced in their spiritual life, and they, each and every, needs to be left alone to grow in grace, regardless of the level of advance that they've attained. Now, all of y'all, I know here it is 10:30. What you're saying is, I think all of us collectively would like to have a cup of coffee. See you here back. See you back here at 10 till.